Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. You're listening to Comic Conversations episode 230, where we talk all things comics for the week of February 13th, 2019. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Alex. Alex, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
I like that you're no-selling the fact that my computer crashed.
Oh, yeah, we already recorded part of this show.
Well, okay, you're being generous. A very, very small part. Like the first 4 minutes.
Yeah, but I learned, and this time I read the news story that we were going to cover.
So it worked out for the best.
Yeah, it makes more sense to me now.
And then Alex can justifiably cut a promo on my Mac laptop.
Oh, it was your Mac that crashed?
Yes.
But Macs don't have any problems. Nobody says that anymore. Actually, the tide appears to be turning against Apple. It's cool to make fun of them now because, as with fucking music and TV and comics, I'm always 5 years ahead of everything.
Well, also,
including fucking hipsters. I was a hipster and stopped being a hipster before hipsters were a thing.
Well, I'm just saying there's people like Bebop on the F4W board that make
No, he doesn't exist anymore.
I'm saying it makes it real easy to rip on Apple fans.
Yeah, because they're horrible.
But yes.
With their fucking baby computers.
How dare you? It's called a MacBook Pro, but if you're professional in anything, you don't use a Mac.
No. And if you like fucking computers, you don't use one either because you like to be able to fuck around with your computer.
Without,
not have a closed system as if you were a fucking idiot.
All right. With that out of the way, let's go into our first segment this week, news. That's friendship. Let's not talk about it.
Which, it sounded like the fucking Bill Cosby show intro mixed with Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like this song predates the Super Mario Brothers underground theme. So I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Well, they fucking ripped that shit off.
Yeah, I know. That's funny considering how litigious Nintendo is.
Well, yeah, but
they rip up a lot of their stuff.
Fuck you, hip Tanaka.
You showed him. Is he still alive? Is he still with us?
Is Hip Tanaka still alive?
Is he still in the land of the living?
Hip Tanaka. Let's look this up real quick. Also known as Chip Tanaka. He is, in fact, still alive. He's 61, and he lives in Kyoto.
Yeah. Well, he's already made his money, and I think the selling point on Mario Brothers is the gameplay, and I don't think anyone cares about them slightly ripping off a song.
But he's like the president of a company, and he performs in Japanese dance clubs.
Cool. Does he perform his music? Because it would be kind of weird.
No, he does, like, modern music.
Okay.
Oh, he also designed the Game Boy camera.
So, he's a failure.
That thing was kind of over. But remember, that was before cell phones.
I remember back in the day, you know, you're a kid. You want to kind of get everything that Nintendo's making just because you want it because it's new. That was the first time I was like, yeah, I don't need to own that.
I would have never had one, but...
Exactly.
Whatever. Sorry.
All right, let's go into a news story that Alex kind of talked about but didn't know what he was talking about, but now he's actually read the news story, so he has a take on it now.
Yeah, so they're doing a Savage Avengers title. Listen to this lineup. Conan, that's the important one, Venom, Brother Voodoo, Wolverine, Punisher, and Elektra.
You should have built up to Conan.
No, I wanted to open it because that's why they're doing it. So the gimmick of this is it's called Savage Avengers because it takes place in the Savage Land. And a group of magicians, wizards from Conan's world, and remember, Conan fucking hates wizards. Wizards from Conan's world are working with the Hand in Marvel Japan, and they send Conan to Marvel 616 because Conan is also apparently going to feature somewhat in this this storyline we're reading in Avengers. Because Conan's over right now, so they got to fit him into shit. But in this one, so he goes to the Savage Land, and all these Avengers also go, well, they're not all Avengers. Punisher and Elektra and Venom aren't, but and neither's Wolverine. Actually, none of them are Avengers. The Avengers name is just there to for sales, I guess. But they're all running around the Savage Land, and Jerry Duggan's writing it, and he wrote Savage Sword of Conan, which I found to be enjoyable, by the way, so at least I'll know how to handle that. He said it's going to be nothing but action that never slows down, and the only scenes in Savage Avengers that involves a table is when somebody's being thrown through one.
I am that. I was hoping there would be one instance where
a table doesn't break.
I am the table.
Yeah, but he's also going to be in No Road Home.
Hey, have they? I'm talking about a segment on Botchamania now. I am the table. But have they had that spot happen in Mexico on that show?
You know how, like, this year and last year, Triple Mania was, like, notoriously bad?
Uh-huh.
I think they did it for one of them.
What? So did they go, you're so El Table?
I don't think they did. I think they still did it. I like it when they have, like, the indie feds or whatever, and the announcer will actually say it.
Mm-hmm.
That's always cute.
Sorry, I got distracted there for a second, but
that's okay. But I look forward to reading this. It sounds ridiculous.
Before my computer crashed, I brought up the fact that how is Conan any different than Thor or Hercules?
They are actually parts of the Marvel Universe, and he is not. Also, they don't go around murdering everyone.
Some of them do, though.
Remember, Conan, in the books we're reading, is a thief murderer. He's not a good person. So he's different from them. It also said he's going to think Venom is a evil genie.
That's funny.
Because he doesn't understand superheroes.
Well, the thing is with that is we know why they're doing it, but I still don't think it's a big deal considering they had characters like Angela in the Marvel Universe that aren't necessarily Marvel characters. It's like, okay, yeah. Big whoop.
I think it's cute.
Cute.
And I like that Conan's over.
I think it's more so Conan's really hot right now, but the thing is eventually it's not going to be, and they have to swing while the iron's hot.
Yeah, that's what you do.
My thing is, considering, well, I guess it's popular enough that it's still around, but it's like, that's the big crossover you guys want to do? Nothing with Star Wars, maybe?
Star Wars isn't over right now.
The thing is, I know Star Wars, you can never do a thing where you integrated them as part of the Marvel Universe, so then just do a crossover.
Yeah, but Star Wars isn't over right now. The comics stopped selling.
Yeah, exactly. All the way to pump some life into it. Just like, okay, we're going to do a storyline with Star Wars and the Avengers. Or bury it, Guardians.
I think they've come up with the only way you could fit Conan into the Marvel Universe in any sort of way that makes sense.
Well, you can always stick him in.
It would be harder to fit Star Wars in.
You could put him in Thor.
I guess.
It wouldn't be that far a stretch, dude.
They are doing the War of the Realms. And Conan very well could be involved in that.
Exactly. See?
The War of the Realms is, as a side note to this, is a much bigger event than I thought it was going to be. Like, fucking the X-Men, Spider-Man, the event, everybody's involved.
Yeah, but you knew that when they announced it as a big crossover.
I didn't. I thought it would just be, like, Thor and maybe the Avengers. I didn't realize Spider-Man and the X-Men were going to be in it.
In all the teasers for it, they had all the Marvel superheroes as part of it.
I didn't watch the teasers.
Well, whose fault is that?
I've just been reading the book for the last fucking 10 years.
Yeah, I know.
Well, he's been building it.
Well, on and off.
Yeah, on and off, and it's still going. But hey, I picked it back up to get ready for it.
Okay, in our second news story, DC's Second Coming Jesus story has been canceled.
Yeah, because and Mark Russell was writing it, so I was really looking forward to reading it. So what happened was Right Wing Snowflakes.
But the thing is, I aside from maybe like the comic book community, I've heard no one talk about this book.
A petition signed by over 227,000 people. Because what they did was somebody found out about it and created a petition. Said it was inappropriate and blasphemous, even though it hasn't come out yet.
Haven't they had comic books where they've done this stuff before?
Yeah, but this one DC was publishing.
But it's not technically not DC, it's Vertigo.
That is DC.
Yeah, but it's DC. Not mainline DC.
It doesn't matter. It's a DC imprint. But the gimmick of it was God sent Jesus back to Earth to learn how to be the Messiah because everybody was in love with Sun Man. He's basically Superman. It was a gimmick title. So Jesus comes to live with Sun Man to learn what it takes to be a hero. It was meant to be a comedy book. But some people got very offended by this because you can't make fun of the Lord. However, the good news is DC didn't. They didn't say, okay, you can't do this somewhere else. And they're letting him shop it to, like, Image and stuff.
Would you say would you go as far as to say they passed it over?
They did, in fact, pass it over. Yeah, so it's being shopped other places, and I'm sure Image will pick it up. And
yeah, if anything, it's probably going to go into, like, a bidding war, because Dark Horse is probably going to want it. Image is probably going to want it.
Yeah, because they don't give a shit. They're like, yeah, sign your fucking online petition. By the way, 227,000 people boycotting it is vastly more than the number of people who would have bought this.
The thing is, it's like, oh, hey, maybe you should buy it so you can burn it.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's great.
That'll show those filthy capitalists.
You gotta fucking, that's how you do it. People are such fucking pussies.
Yeah. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
If you don't like it, don't buy it, motherfucker.
And I didn't feel like going on about it because I didn't read the entire story, and I don't want to read it because I'm going to get depressed.
Well, because DC didn't say why.
No, I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm talking about the other news story that I came across this week.
Ooh, what's that?
That before he signed with DC, our boy Tom King was going to write a Fantastic Four run.
Yeah, but then he signed with DC.
And I got depressed.
I don't care. I like the new Fantastic Four run.
It would have been better with King, though.
No, I don't want Tom King to write Fantastic Four. Because Tom King, as much as I love him, and he's like my favorite.
You're just saying that because he wrote Vision, and he wrote...
And it was depressing.
Mr. Miracle, and it was depressing.
And he wrote Sheriff of Babylon, which is depressing, and he's writing Batman, which is depressing. I don't want the Fantastic Four to be depressing.
But it'd be good, though.
He would have done the fucking Thing and the Thing marriage, and fucking, like, Thing would have died on the day they got married or something.
Cool.
Like, I don't want him writing that. I'm fine with him writing depressing characters, but I don't want him writing fucking the fun Fantastic Four. Because Tom King clearly has, like, issues with his family or whatever, and I don't want him bringing that into Marvel's first family.
But it would have been good.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have been well written, but I don't want to read it. Like, there are very few things I don't want to read by Tom King. That is one of them.
Okay, I'll give it to you. All right, that's going to do it for the news portion of the show. Let's move on to our next segment, this week's books. Yeah. It's a fun song.
The fuck was that?
It's from Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. It's the King K. Rool cover.
It was a little ear grating, brother.
I loved it. I've been listening to that song all week, and I was like, "Ooh, oh, it's my turn to pick video game music." I don't know. I'm gonna pick this, and I'm specifically gonna pick that part of the song.
Okay.
All right. Let's go into this week's books, which include Thor number 10, Savage Sword of Conan number 1, Deadman Logan 4. Avengers No Road 1, Age of X-Men Next Gen 1, Criminal 2, Wonder Twins 1, Flash 64, and to open up this week's books, we have Batman Who Laughs, number 3, writer, we all know it's Scott Snyder and Jacques. Sorry, I pulled it up on a comic list and it won't load. So what do you think? What did you think of this week's Batman Who Laughs?
I'm over it.
Yeah, I am too. I liked the last issue because it really set the stakes pretty high. But then it kind of ended on a low note where like, oh, okay, they're going to do stuff with Gordon's son. I guess that's interesting. But it turns out reading this week's issue, it's not.
Yeah, Gordon's son is a crazy evil genius. But Wayne's pharmaceutical division developed a drug that cures psychopaths, I guess. And it was working on him. But Batman needs him to be crazy again because then he'll be able to figure out how the Batman Who Laughs is going to use his last laugh system to Jokerize the entire city. And Batman Who Laughs goes and he beats up a bunch of the Penguins guys and there's some other Batman and they take Gordon because he needs Gordon to unlock the system because it has to be Batman and Gordon because he wanted a second person. Well, obviously, since Batman Who Laughs is Bruce Wayne, he's got that part covered. And then Gordon, well, he's got him now. And in the end, Gordon's son never really helped him, and Batman has apparently gone full Joker.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Why do they bother doing that? Because they're not going to stick with it.
Yeah, I know.
It's so annoying. It's like, oh, yeah, they're really going to have Batman be Jokerized now, right? That's going to be...
Well, they've already announced the next Batman Who Laughs story, so...
Another story? What? Is this story not good enough?
No, I'm sure this story will end, but then they're going to bring him back again and again and again and again.
Here's my thing with the Batman Who Laughs. He's a character that has potential, but Snyder's not the guy who I want writing him.
This book ends with fucking Batman putting on that stupid fucking try-hard...
Spike collar.
Mask over his eyes. How does he see?
That was the thing I'm hoping they'll explain, like there's a hub in there or something.
Like, is it fake metal? Like...
Maybe it's a hub like Iron Man, where he can, you know... He has like a display.
This comic was so enthralling that I'm discussing how the mechanics of the costume work.
There was that cute little bit where Batman was fighting Grim Knight, and he was talking about he was ripping on him for not using guns, and he's like, "Oh, you must not be a good shot." He says, "As a matter of fact, I'm a really good shot." He's like, "Oh yeah, with what?" And then he shoots the grappling hook to a train, and then he ties the Grim Knight's.
Even though the art never showed how it got tied.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Well, I think it's the idea is you're not supposed to notice.
Well, I was annoyed by the comic, so I noticed that.
The thing is, I think this thing's going on for 12 issues, so it's like
six issues.
Even that's a little long.
Yeah, we're halfway done, so I'm probably gonna finish it out, but.
My thing is, it's like the story had so much potential, and then they decided to put Gordon's son into it.
I don't think it ever had potential, because the Batman Who Laughs is an incredibly one-note character.
If there was a while...
Oh, I left one thing out. Joker woke up from his open-heart surgery with a gaping flesh wound, and he knocked out Arthur and escaped.
My thing is, I don't know, I started to warm up to the character, and then the storyline didn't do anything to... It's like, okay, you were slowly winning me over, and then this storyline kind of put me back in the other direction. It's like, but the thing is, it's like, why not just do a story with Joker?
Because they've done lots of stories with Joker. Then Joker's more interesting.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, either do a story with Joker or just don't do it.
Where's my three Jokers story? The Batman Who Laughs is not one of them.
They did that when we weren't reading comics and not doing the show.
What?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Hey, that's your fault, not mine.
I'll have to look it up.
That's your fault, not mine. Because I'm like, hey, I should probably read this, but I don't care. Yeah. Well, it's not FF, so it's not exactly, you know, my top priority.
God. Okay.
Well, since we're talking Batman, let's talk Flash 64. Writer Joshua Williamson, art by Rafael Sandoval. At first, I didn't want to read this because the last storyline didn't do anything for me with the other forces. But
well, this is the Batman crossover.
Yeah, I forgot that this was. I forgot they set that up last week or the last time they had this book come out.
I mean, it looked the same as the issue of Batman we read, and it read the same because it was drawn and written by the same person. Well, so
yeah, but the thing is, I was not expecting this. I was like, oh god, that storyline again. And you know what? Come to think of it, now I just remember they did wrap that up.
They sort of wrapped it up
for now.
Well, they made it out to be a bigger deal. But anyway, this one continued on with the story. Iris, the only really... There actually was some cute character stuff in this, except for the ridiculous... People often argue if Flash or Superman are faster. No, they don't. Flash is faster.
Like, it's not even debatable.
And fucking Batman, like, I'm wondering how fast a new Batwing. It's not as fast as Flash. He fucking runs at the speed of light, you asshole. So let's not even fuck around with that. But what they more focused on was, you know, they're both detectives, which Barry's not really a detective, but whatever. They both work in crime. So, they did this like dual internal monologue thing where they were showing that, you know, what Flash is doing and what Batman's doing. And that was actually really well done, what they were both thinking. And this one just had, you know, because the last one had Batman having all these problems from the after effects of Heroes in Crisis. And this one was Flash doing it. Like, they're tracking down Gotham Girl. And by the way, they tracked her to a fucking castle on a mysterious jungle island. Like he sees, I guess little Gotham Girl drew a drawing of her costume and he sees it and he remembers back to when Wally designed the Kid Flash costume. And then he, you know, gets horribly upset because Wally's dead, even though he's not dead.
Except he is.
And except he's not, because Booster confirmed he's not actually dead.
Wait. When did this was it confirmed?
Heroes in Crisis. He said the Wally who was dead is from 5 days after.
That's not a confirmation.
The point at which he died. Well, it says something funky's going
they're
on with the death.
They're saying the table up for something, but you don't know for a fact.
Time travel. Which means he's not dead.
Yeah, we'll
Boom.
See.
None of them are dead.
We'll cross
actually,
that bridge when
time
we
travel.
It.
Time travel fixes everything.
Yeah, we'll see.
And he's a Flash.
I'll remember specifically to isolate this moment and to play on the show when it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm sure Tom through. King put in a hint that there's something funky about his death so that he could not deal with it.
All right, well, we'll see.
He's not going to be dead. So they're going through her little hideout there, and they go into a room with like stolen Wayne Tech tubes. Like they said they were partially Mr. Freeze's.
It was Wayne Tech, but it was Mr. Freeze's technology.
Yeah, and she was apparently growing zombie Gotham guys in them. So that was not actually him. It's like weird clone things that the person who's helping her helped her to set up. And was this the comic where we saw the person in shadow and he had red eyes and he looked like Darkseid? But I don't think it's Darkseid because that's not what he looks like now.
I don't remember. I don't remember any of this.
Okay.
Oh, well, I remember. You're right. They teased somebody. Yeah, but it can't be Darkseid. Yeah.
No, but it was a big motherfucker with red eyes.
Yeah, my first thought was Bane. Because
they're going with that? Because I know they're doing like they're doing a big storyline where like Bane is going to control Gotham next year.
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Oh, it could be Bane because they showed the Psycho Pirate's mask.
Oh, yeah, because he had a gimmick with Psycho Pirate, too, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
God, fucking Psycho Pirate is all over the place in DC. Well, when they broke it, because Flash is, like, yelling at Batman, because Batman's like, well, you know, Gotham Girl is having some issues, so I sent her for help. And Flash is like, oh, did you send her to Sanctuary? And he just keeps talking, and then Flash fucking yells at him, did you fucking send her to Sanctuary? Just fucking answer me, asshole. And then he's like, where oh, wait, she? Something's happening. And he never answered.
Where because is she?
Because, well, the thing was, she had a fucking one of the Psycho Pirate masks mm-hmm. that they had at Sanctuary. And Batman's like, well, somebody could have planted that. It's like, well, yeah, I guess they could. And, well, she comes back in and basically beats the shit out. But by the way, did they also indicate that Batman lied to her when he said using her powers will kill her?
No, because that's what killed her brother.
Yeah, but he said, I told her that using her powers would kill her, but in reality, I just wanted her to not continue on in this life.
Well, it could be both.
And I'm like, so does that mean she's not actually going to die?
Except that's how her brother died.
Yeah, but she's not her brother.
But she also wasn't influenced by Psycho Pirate and didn't flip out.
Oh, and it's also super venom, by the way, is yeah. what she's injecting into all these clones of her brother or whatever. So she doesn't want to actively kill them. Mm. Like she believes she will die by using her powers, but she said, you know, that's what heroes do. They sacrifice themselves for good. She's and her next thing is going to be like fucking destroying the police department or something, which, you know, if her goal is going to be to fight against the status, that's all right. But I don't think that's not
well,
very
she wants
DC
to be the greatest superhero of all time. So I don't know if that's necessarily I don't think everybody would agree with that, Alex. So,
huh?
I don't think everybody would agree with that, with the war on the status.
Well, I did say I don't think that's where they're going with it.
No,
but,
probably not.
You know, we don't want to murder the status, Tony. We just want them to
really. I was under the impression that they were beyond redemption.
Well, no, everybody can learn the error of their ways. They're not Nazis, for God's sakes. Well, some of them are Nazis.
In fact, you could argue that the Nazis were in fact status.
Well, they were, as what National Socialism was. They were statists. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying that not all modern-day statists are Nazis.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you can send all your complaints to alexminer@halfguard.com.
Okay, only half of them are Nazis, all right? The other half are commies.
That's Minor, M-I-N-O-R.
Taxation is theft, people. never. We're gonna get off the rails here.
That's all the show is.
I know. Did you see the thing Lauren sent? It was the Valentine I sent her with all the dictators, and they turned them into Valentines. Like it was a picture of Hitler, and it said "Be mine."
No,
but it was spelled the German way, and. I had a picture of Mao, and it was like, you're the chairman of my heart.
That's great. No, I didn't see it, though.
Yeah, you should look for it. It's pretty funny. There's a lot of them, though. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So she goes and flies off and leaves them to fight zombie Gothams.
And that's all this is?
Her brother. Yeah, and it'll pick up, like, next week in Batman. And then I assume the week after that in Flash, and then the story will be done, and it'll probably lead into whatever's coming next. Lead into Heroes in Crisis.
I sincerely doubt it's going to do that.
Well, it's already fairly strongly connected to it.
Yeah.
So.
We'll cross
and then
that
Heroes in Crisis is going to lead into Doomsday Clock, which is why Doomsday Clock keeps getting delayed.
Except we both know that's not what's going to happen.
Well, they've already hinted, so.
Yeah, but it's not going to. With the way DC is with their continuity as of late, yeah, I don't know if that's the way it's
going to happen. Fast and loose, brother. Fast and loose.
Well, does anybody really, when they're reading a story, it's like, well, You know, I like the story. I like the storytelling. I like the characters. But it didn't quite fit in with mainstay continuity, so I got to take a couple points off it. It's like, no, nobody cares.
There are people who care.
Yeah, well, they're the minority. They don't buy comic books. They don't buy very many.
Why? Because they're minorities, you fucking racist?
Well, they're minorities in the sense they're minorities.
I know. I was a joke, fucker.
Well, I God. Don't know. I don't know when you're joking when you're not. That's the problem sometimes. And I get the feeling it's going to be one of those instances where it turns out you really are a horrible person. It's like, oh, I just didn't take it seriously. I thought you were joking.
You know what? You're being a Mexican. And I don't need that right now.
I need you to be a Mexican.
I need you to be a Mexican.
A Mexican won't.
That doesn't.
That's the gimmick. Funny.
So yeah, this story is moving at a brisk pace. Although they've got all the character work done now, so I imagine after this we're just. I mean, we might get more on Gotham Girl, but other than that, I mean, this is just going to be plot from here on out. I think it's only got two issues left, so that's fine.
Cool. All right, let's move on to our final DC book, I think, because I don't have the list in front of me. Actually, let's pull it up. Our final DC. Sorry, I just assumed it was because of the lettering. But Wonder Twins number one, writer Mark Russell, art by Stephen Brine.
So this was a comedy book.
Yeah, the thing is, you look at the all the solicitations for it, and it looks like it's, you know, being done straight. And then the thing is, right out the gate, you start reading it, and it's they're burying the Wonder Twins.
Yeah, so the gimmick of the book is, as we found out, and it's almost, it's 100% comedy.
I feel like this book, when we go into comic book sales, when we finally get the numbers, that's not going to sell as good as it should have, because it wasn't advertised as a comedy book.
First issue will sell well, and funny doesn't draw money, so. So, something happened on, okay, so, the Wonder Twins are going to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they are from another planet. And the reason they're on Earth is Superman is friends with their dad. And he went to their planet. And something happened that meant they had to leave the planet. So they come to Earth. And what are their names again? Zan and Jaina?
Zan and Jaina.
Okay, so Zan, the boy, he's a very cocky, very, very confident fellow who's making his plans of how he's going to become the king of the school, which involves him getting an awesome nickname and a pet alligator.
H2O.
Yeah, his nickname is going to be H2O. The single funniest joke in this book is Superman is, cause they're living in the Hall of Justice. And Superman is talking to Batman and Wonder Woman about them. And of course Batman's like, well, what are their, what can they do? And he's like, oh, they're changelings. And he's like, oh, that could be useful. And Superman's like, yeah, but she can only turn into animals. And he can only turn into water. And they cut to Batman and Wonder Woman, and there's like the panel of no reaction, and then Wonder Woman says, he can only turn into water.
Oh, the best part, and she says it twice, she's like, I'm very underwhelmed.
And then Batman goes, just keep him out of my way. Like, these fuckers are worthless. They bring them to a room and reveal that, oh, this is supercomputer, but because it's like from the old fucking cartoon.
Yeah, Super Friends.
Yeah. He's like, but we don't really use it anymore because, like, this is before we had smartphones. He's like, so mostly we just use it to listen to music now. But they end up talking to supercomputer, and it's super fucking excited. Because somebody's actually talking to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, guys, I'm a lot smarter than they think I am. And then it, like, asks them if they want to listen to music. Supercomputer is my favorite character. But they end up, the Justice League has to go fight Mixel-Pitalik.
Yes.
Yeah. So they fight him, and then they come back, and it was a hard-fought battle, blah, 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 blah. They go to school the next day, and Zan is... his becoming the most popular kid in school doesn't work out the way he thought because there's a storm and he gets the thunderlust.
Wow.
Which he said is a thing that happens to his people whenever it rains. Whenever there's a storm, all the people, he said the men turn into women and the women turn into animals and the animals do something and everybody fucks whenever it rains.
Body. I like the way Zan said it. And body fluids are exchanged. And
yeah, that was when he tried to explain it. They were talking about their heritage in class, and he's talking about his. And the teacher kind of realizes she's got to cut him off when he starts talking about the thunderlust. But he did drop to his knees at school and scream, "The thunderlust!" And fucking, so all the kids are calling him thunderlust now. But this is actually kind of cute. He goes back to the Hall of Justice, and Superman's talking to him, and Batman walks in, and he's like, "What's going on here?" And he goes, Superman's like, "Zan became a man today." And then they both tell an embarrassing story from high school.
I don't even remember what the Superman one was.
Oh, the Superman was, he was trying to act cool. He was like going to hit on Lana Lang, and then he goes to like lean up against the door, but the door's not there, and he fell over and took a header into the classroom. Yeah. And the Batman one was...
Oh, the Batman one was way better.
He had a crush on a girl at school, so he wrote her a song. But it was like during his poetry part of class, so the teacher took it and fucking read it in class.
Oh, the best part. He's like, okay, this is to be sung in the Bee Gees.
Oh, it was to the tune of a Bee Gees song, so they called him Bee Gee for the rest of the year. But then he pointed out, he's like, you know what? High school will be over pretty quick, and you'll never really see these people again. So don't worry about it. And they actually tried to help him. Well, so they go back to the computer room, and Mixlpidalek shows up to them. And it's like, oh, so what the fuck are they gonna do? Because they weren't. What's she gonna do? Turn into a tiger and fight a fifth dimensional imp? And he's gonna get his shoes wet? Like, that's not gonna work. But what she did was she had him say his name, and she had supercomputer record it. And then she's like, "Hey, supercomputer, play that back." So technically, since she played the recording backwards, he said his name backwards.
That makes the panel like, I didn't know it works that way.
He's like, oh, this doesn't work this way. And then he disappeared. So they actually saved the day.
Not that anyone
would. It was a cute story.
Not that anyone would notice.
Yeah, but still, I thought this was a cute book.
And they did my favorite thing when this book was announced. It's not a continuing series. It's just a
little. No, it's a mini.
Yeah, it's a mini, which I think most of these books should be, because I always hate to see when they're canceled, because it's like, oh, you failed.
I think most of them are, aren't they?
No, because sometimes there's a continuing series.
I'm telling you, Naomi ain't going to be a continuing series. DC ain't going to do this like Marvel does.
I hope so, because that book's a giant failure.
Well, since Bendis isn't writing any of them, and we were wrong on that, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't understand how that works. It's like, so he's not writing them, but it's considered part of his imprint? How? I don't understand.
Because he's like, I want a young black girl character who's boring.
But then what is Bendis' involvement in this? Why is it under his brand of Wonder Books?
I don't know.
Oh, whatever.
Maybe he has some say.
Maybe it's one of those things where he pitches the book, and then he just gives the book to someone else to write. That's the only thing I could think it'd be.
I don't know. This one was at least funny, though. So,
all right, that's going to do it for the DC portion of the show. Let's move on to Image with Criminal Number 2, writer Ed Brubaker, and on by Sean Phillips.
So let me ask, was this the kid from the first story?
I don't know. And is this going to be the story of this book that is just going to bounce around?
It's going to continue stories that don't get continued. I believe this was the kid from the first story.
Okay, I wasn't 100% sure.
I think. I'd have to go look and see if they had the same name, but I couldn't find my issue of Criminal number one.
I even had to be like, am I reading the right Criminal? Because, you know, when I was doing a search, there's a bunch of other books that came out in different years called Criminal. So I'm like, did I pick up the right book? Is this the Ed Brubaker book that came out in 2019?
It is, but he wrote the other Criminal series. But I mean, I think it was. We'll find out in the next issue. Like, if it jumps to something else, then this is a fucking weird series that only does one issue stories and never finishes them.
Or maybe it's gonna tell all these individual stories like the Hickman run, and then eventually they're all gonna tie in together.
Well, because that last story did take place in the past, so. I mean, this could be the kid, because he's like, hey, isn't your dad a thief? And this, well, what this one was about was there's a kid who may be the son of the thief from the last comic who was like an assistant to a famous comic artist. And this is a really weird story because everything was real except for the comic artist character. Like, they're like referencing all these like classic comic
Stanley,
writers.
Stanley, what's his name? God, I forgot his name. Jerry Conway, Jack Kirby. They all get name dropped in this book.
There were a lot of them.
Yeah.
And, like, they were talking about, like, when he was working for the National, which was, like, old school DC. And he created this, the biggest thing he ever did was he worked on, like, a cartoon that got really big years later. And he's, like, a fucking drunk and a gambling addict and
thrice divorced,
all kinds of bad shit. He's a bad dude. He makes fake animation cells,
yes,
of his famous cartoon, and then signs them and has a guy sell them, and that's how he makes most of his money. The dick.
Oh, although he used the guy's money from stealing famous artists when they were writing a book, like just art would go.
Well, yeah, when he was working with them,
yeah,
he'd steal their art and sell it. But yeah, so he's never been really a good guy, and like our point of view character points out that he is kind of a prick, and he stopped being his assistant. There's actually a point in this where this guy is like his hero as an artist, and when he was working for him, he told him like, "You're the shits. You'll never be anything." So he stopped trying.
And he's like, I don't remember telling you that. And if I did, it was just to toughen you up. It's like, you shouldn't listen to me. You shouldn't listen to anyone telling you you're not good enough to do anything.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, well, that was 10 years ago, and I stopped trying then, you fucking prick. So, yeah, he's got some anger towards him. So they do some shit, and they go around, and then eventually it ends with him he asks him, like, isn't your dad a thief or something? And then the issue ends. And this may continue, or it may jump to something completely different. I'm not sure.
I'm kind of hoping it is jumping around. Because remember I told you, I was like, yeah, it sets something up, but I don't know how much I care. And you're like, well.
We didn't even get the crime in this one.
No. Well, he's a con man, but. He doesn't straight up like rob people.
Yeah, he hasn't like done the big con yet. So,
I mean, stealing the art, but
well, yeah, but that was done in the past.
All right, let's move on to that's gonna do it for the Image portion of the show. Let's move on to Marvel with Age of X-Men Next Gen number 1 of 5, writer Ed Bryson, art by Marcus Du or Two.
By the way, we're not reading the Age of X-Men book that's coming out next week because it's a Nightcrawler one and I don't want to read it, which I'm slightly hesitant about because this book, while it is another 5-issue mini, sort of developed the world a little bit, and I think they'll all do that, but I also think I'll be able to skip it and be fine because this one was about the kids, largely about Glob.
Yay!
And we found out that in the future world, everyone goes to through one of the Xavier schools, and everyone goes into one of 4 departments: agriculture, cops.
I don't remember all the divisions, dude.
Yeah, there were 4 of them. Some people work on farming and livestock so they can have food. Some people work on erasing fucking mutants' memories who realize this world is fucked. Some people become X-Men and some people do civics. I don't know. They do different things. Glob is
speaking of what people do, they showed all the people working at the Xavier School, whatever they call it. Who was teaching and had the Great Temples?
I don't remember. I know Sunfire was a teacher. Psylocke came in to teach.
But there was a guy who had Great Temples. And I thought to myself, oh, that's Reed Richards. And I thought to myself,
no,
wait.
Because he's not a mutant.
Yeah, he's not a mutant. And I was like, is that an X-Men character?
They said who all of them were.
Yeah, but it looks exactly like Reed. But I'm like, it can't be Reed because he's not a mutant.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm confused. But you did see it. Do you remember that or no?
I don't remember thinking it was Reed.
Okay. I was like, well, then me. That's why I thought. I'm like, this is
I knew X-Men. I knew Reed wouldn't be there because there are no humans.
Well, that's why I said, is it some X-Men I don't know about?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't remember what he was teaching either. History?
I forget, too.
Yeah. But anyway, Glob's kind of a goofball, as he always is. But there's something weird going on with Blob, we found out, because number one, they revealed early on, people can't read Glob's mind. He's immune to mind reading, which I think is a new revelation.
Is it a secondary evolution?
I don't know. But they revealed that at the beginning of the book, and it came up later, because what happened was, so they're just showing a little bit of the world, and they go to, there's like a house on fire. So the kids want to go see it. They're supposed to be studying, but they go see it. And Pixie and Armor run around the back, and Blob's there. And Blob is one of the...
Glob. Blob. Sorry, no, you're right. Sorry, I thought you were making a mistake.
No. Blob's in back with Bling, one of the mute kids who's screaming about how, you know, they're going to discover all your lies and blah, 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 blah. And the kids run up and see this, and Blob's like, yeah, you better go out front and take care of this shit because you don't want to see what's going to happen here. And then he's going to mind wipe him, and Anole runs out past him, and he's like, please, God, don't tell them I'm here. He's like, they can't. No, I can't let it happen again. And they're referring to the mind wipes, and, you know, Blob told the kid, he's like, hey, this is your second time, and you know what happens if we have to do it a third time. Which apparently is, if they get to the point where they have to wipe your mind a third time, they fucking kill you.
No, they said they do something to you. And I took that for they kick you out and they send you back to 616.
They can't do that because in this is an alternate future thing, mm-hmm. So there is no 616 to send them back to.
But they're going to end up being 616 again, so...
Yeah, they are eventually, but it's we're in alternate reality now. So
well, I don't mind going on the record for saying that's what they do.
I think they kill them because they're trying to show that they're evil.
I can see X-Men being like, oh, I'll do something worse than killing you. I'll send you back to the old world, the bad world.
I think that's high hopes from you, but I'm pretty sure they kill them. But we'll find out in one of these books. Armor is very disturbed by all this, and she goes to talk to Glob, and Glob's like, oh no, we can't be in the room together. And she's like, I fucking have to tell somebody about this. And she starts telling him, and Glob knows all about it. He's like, oh no, not again. Glob fucking knows about all this, and it apparently has something to do with his fucking no one can read his mind thing.
Mm-hmm.
Glob is such a peaceful character. Like, the book opens up, and he's just feeding some chickens.
The chickens.
And these dick kids come and make fun of him because they're hens, but he gave two of them boy names.
Well,
and they were making fun of him.
Well, specifically, you know, dead X-Men.
Yeah, and they're like, you call them the X-Hens?
And that is funny. And then they're in the cafeteria, and Glob's writing in his journal, and they're making fun of him. They're playing keep away with his journal.
Yeah, like... They're fucking mean to Glob.
Yeah, but then at the end of the book, Glob...
Like, not all of them.
Yeah, but then at the end of the book, Glob sets his hand on fire and comes at Pixie, so...
Yeah, well... Yeah, I don't know what they're going with it. I like that we have a story where Glob Herman is ostensibly the hero because I love Glob, but it's just, you know, it's a very depressing world they live in.
Not for X-Men.
Erasing people's memories and stuff. And
I can't wait for them to pull the trigger on the Apocalypse stuff.
Well, we're getting there. I think that's the last one to come out.
Yeah, but it's like I want it now.
This is going on for a long time, dude, because there's five books.
See, that's my problem with it. It's like, it's, this seems like a decent enough premise, but I don't know how long they can keep it up for without, like, I'm already getting kind of bored.
Well, like, 5 months.
Like, for me, it was a cool one-off.
Well, keep in mind, we're not reading all the books. Like, I'm not, the Nightcrawler one's coming out next week. I'm not reading it. The other ones I might want to read, because there's one called like Ex-Prisoner, and it's about Bishop and wherever they took him.
Nah.
And I kind of think I should read that, because he's apparently been mind wiped multiple times. So I want to see what they're doing with him.
Better hope the week's
light. But I don't
know
if
the week's light.
Well, fucking every week's light now, dude.
Well, I could tell you one less book we're going to read this week. Or next time it comes out. Avengers No Road Home, number one, writer Al Ewing, art by Paco Medina.
Really? I liked
it. What a giant waste of time this book was. I hated it.
I liked it.
I hated
it.
I thought it
had stakes.
It had stakes at first, and then they showed what's her name again, and I'm like, oh, not this again. Not this nonsense.
But it's a completely different story.
Yeah, but I don't want...
It's just, it's using her as the tool to fit the team together.
Well, then that's a failure on the Paco or Al Ewing's,
you know, choosing. It's been very well received.
That's great. So, I don't care.
Well, I liked it.
I
didn't like the first one. I thought this moved much better and.
It had a decent enough premise because it's like, ooh, that's the one thing we
they killed
sort of
all the gods.
Yeah, the thing is, we always hear about them, but we rarely, if ever, see them. And in this issue, we got them all fighting with Hercules, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. This is interesting because we never get to see them.
And then they killed them.
And then and that's why I'm like, the hook you guys had for this book, and you guys done away with it, so.
Well, I don't think the hook is seeing the fucking Olympian gods. I mean, it's more. They put them over as being, you know, gods, and then they killed them, so there's a threat.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, hey, remember Avengers No Surrender, how great that was? And I'm thinking to myself, wait, no,
Nobody said that.
I don't want to go there. No,
the only connection is that Voyager character.
Yeah, okay, then why is it that I'm reading the solicitation for this, and the first thing it says out the gate, the team that brought you Avengers No Surrender reunites for an all-new exciting Avengers adventure.
Well, because No Surrender sold really well.
Did it?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't like it, so.
Well, I didn't either. Well, that's not true. I didn't like the first six issues, and then I liked the final four issues.
Because the first six issues were just fighting.
Yeah, but I like fighting. It's just I thought it was boring fighting.
Remember there was that one issue, that one Black Widow, where like 90% of the issue was all action. It's like, oh, so Mark Waid started kind of phoning it in, huh?
Well, I want to see if Nyx is a more compelling villain than the Challenger, who was the worst villain ever.
Well, I'm going on the record for saying this book's going to suck.
Well, we'll see. It's first issue. I thought the first issue was strong.
Okay. You know what book didn't suck this week? Dead Man Logan, number 4 of 12, writer Ed Bryson, art by Mike Henderson.
No, this book didn't suck.
Very good.
Wolverine is, Old Man Logan is being held by the X-Men. They're trying to heal him, and Dr. Reyes got very angry at him and told him, yeah, you're fucking 12 months to live. That's like 6 months to live now because you keep using this Regen-X crap, and every time you use it, that number's going to get halved. Stop fucking doing it. And he's like, oh, I'm going to die anyway. I got to take care of this. Well, Mysterio, when he escaped last issue, apparently escaped to Hawkeye and explained to him what happened. So they're going to sneak him to see Wolverine, which, you know, Hawkeye points out, this is a stupid fucking idea. He's going to kill you. And if you try anything, I'm going to kill you. Like, you're going to die one way or another. But he's like, no, no, I just want to explain to him what happened. There's a little funny joke here when they're going to go walk into the X-Mansion. He's like, well, you can't walk in as Mysterio. He's like, oh, okay, I'll do this. And he turns into Professor X, and he's like, no, he's dead. And he goes, oh, okay, I'll try this. And then he turns into Cyclops, and he goes, I think he's dead, too.
Also dead.
And he's like, how the hell do you guys
keep track of all this?
Keep track of all this. And then he turns into Maggot, and Hawkeye goes, I don't even know who that is. which I laughed. Who does he eventually turn into?
I forget. It was someone mundane.
Jubilee?
Yeah, there we go. It was Jubilee.
But Jubilee was already there.
Yeah, well, that's how Logan knew.
Yeah, so they walk in, and old man Logan immediately sees through this and goes to kill him. But somehow Mysterio convinces him, no, they're the ones who are behind this, and they're going to get him. Or going to get them.
Hulk Hogan.
Hogan. And my old idea of, oh, he's got 12 months to live, and we have 12 issues is not going to happen, because these issues are not 1 month each. And
no, they're
not. They just cut his time down to 6 months.
Which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, Wolverine's back, so.
All right, let's move to Savage Sword of Conan, number one, writer Jerry Duggan, art by Ron Garney. You were 100% right. This was 100% just, oh, Conan's over. Let's just throw a story together with Conan and sell it.
Yeah, and, like, I liked it. It was another Conan. Like, I like Conan a lot, so it's like I enjoyed this.
For me, I don't like Conan. So, you know, who's writing it? Who's writing Conan right now?
Which one?
The other one, the good one.
See, I didn't think this one was bad, though.
But who's writing it? I'm trying to make a point.
I don't remember.
Aaron, there we go. So Aaron's having to work, you know, a losing battle, or he's having to climb a hill for me to care about Conan. And he succeeded, because it's like SK generic, warrior dude. I don't care. But the stories are so great that I do invest in and I care.
Yeah. Yes, they're like every Conan story ever written.
And it's like, but they're good.
Yeah, because every Conan story is good, dude. He's literally writing classic Conan stories.
I didn't like this one. I thought this one was, this felt like, just.
How much Conan have you read?
Just add water Conan. It's like, okay, I don't need to read this. This is.
How much?
This felt like
how much Conan have you read?
This feels like, how many of the, this feels like, oh, okay, I wrote this on the back of a napkin. Okay, just print it.
All right. Well, we don't have to read it again, but I will be reading it in my own time. Okay. Because, I mean, yeah, doing two Conan books. I imagine this will also sell well, though. And, because Conan is something that's very needed in today's world.
Just a
manly guy who fucking killed. By the way, in this issue, Conan, was in a battle with pirates and was captured by slavers. And to escape, he got a hold of one of the guards, broke his hand, tore his finger bone out, and used that as a lockpick.
That was cute.
So that he could escape. And then when he went upstairs to get the ship's captain, he just had a skin suit, because it turned out he's a snake monster. So he kills the snake monster. And, gets the keys, but he drops the keys, and he's still tied to another guy who's a giant pussy. And so Conan ends up, they end up on a boat, but the guy says something like, oh, we're finally safe. And Conan's like, oh, you're a fucking asshole. Because right at that moment, Conan's foot falls through the boat and sinks the boat. So Conan has to swim with this guy who can't swim basically on his back. All the way to shore, and they reach shore, but it's not safe there.
Sir, you're talking about how we desperately need Conan. Remember at the beginning of the show, we were talking about the Savage series and how they're going to have Conan. And I'm like, you can have Hercules and Thor. Do we really need, like, Conan?
Yeah, because Hercules is a joke. He's a goofy character, and Conan's
not. Well, he is now, but you can make him cool
and
again.
And Thor's a goofy character, too.
Not like, really.
In all honesty, talking with the fucking high English these and thous and shit and fucking also he has a giant magical hammer and he can fly.
So
Conan can't fly. Conan fucking beats people to death with his bare hands and takes their shit. He's a fucking man.
That's boring to me.
Thor's fighting with his dad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you mean to tell me this Thor story is any different than any other Conan story?
Yeah, because there was no he didn't kill. Yeah, him and Odin thought nobody died. A frog got squished.
Yeah, but I'm just
saying. They're very different stories.
Yeah, I like the Thor stuff more because it has more stuff to work with.
Okay, this we're on to Thor now. This issue of Thor was very bog standard. I thought it's Thor and his dad. They don't show each other fucking love, and his dad doesn't know how to show him love, and everybody hates Odin. Freya and all the other gods are on Earth because Asgard's all fucked up. Malekith is still working towards War of the Realms, and Loki's working both sides, I guess. I don't know where he's at because I haven't been following the story. They probably haven't said, actually. And Thor's dad won't tell him he loves him. And that's sad. It made Heimdall cry.
My favorite part in this, where Odin's putting himself over, he's like, I'm the Allfather. I have all this power and probably something else. Who do you think you are?
Yeah, cause he was drunk. My only real issue with this is I haven't even read that much Thor, and I've read this exact fucking story 500 times. The reason it didn't bother me is because it's basically just buying time until the big story starts.
Oh, I did. I did really think it was cute where Odin realizes hit rock bottom. He's like, I got to do something about this. And he's talking to somebody off panel. And I'm thinking to myself, who could it be? Because I'm like, there's a wide cast of Thor characters. I'm like, who could Odin be talking to about his alcoholism? And then sure enough, I see the character Tony Stark. And I'm like, wait, what does he have to do with any of this? And it's like, oh, wait, the alcoholism.
I don't think it was necessarily, like, at its core, alcoholism.
Well, the thing is, he's talking about...
I don't think Thor... Odin's not drinking more than he ever drank before.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's specifically talking about alcohol. He's like, well, can you think back when this started? He's like, well, first I created mead. Basically alluding to the fact that
Tony's going to cure him in a couple days of his alcoholism.
Yeah, there you go. So I liked the story. That was cute. And considering I didn't want to read it because I'm just like, God. Like you mentioned earlier, that's what this book had its moments, but yeah, it was just buying time before War of the Realms. So it is what it is, baby. All right, that's going to do it for this week's books. Let's move on to our final segment, next week's books. Alex, just guessing. Do you know what country that this song is from?
Japan. Yes, from that fucking dying promotion, New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Ah, see, that's where you'd be wrong. That is the great Sasuke. It's great Sasuke's theme.
Oh, and he was in what, Michinoku Pro?
Correct.
Okay. So. See, I know. I know.
Except you didn't know the song. You just assumed, oh, well, all Japanese songs are from New Japan. Because, you know, every other promotion doesn't have music.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but that song's great. It's no...
We don't need to read StarCraft 2, right?
No, it's no Chosen Thunder Liger theme, but it's pretty great.
Their fascination with...
synthesizers.
With 1980s shit rock.
Well, to be fair, great Sasuke's peak was in the mid to early 90s, so.
Yeah, I remember him. He had a match on an In Your House.
There you go.
Canadian Stampede.
I think his match with Benoit on the finals of the Best of the Super Juniors he gave 5 stars to. Which, there was a time when 5 stars meant something, so.
No, now fucking NXT TV matches get 5 stars.
Kenny Omega matches get, 8 stars?
7.5 stars.
Okay, so.
If his fucking match with Chris Jericho gets anything approaching 5 stars, I will riot. Because it will not be that fucking good.
Well, we've already established, and almost to a formal degree, Dave is in fact on the take on this specific instance.
He is. Now he's making jokes about it. Oh, well, you know, we're taking money for it. Well, you fucking are, you motherfucker.
You're joking about that, but you really are.
And I told you, like, I'm willing to give him a chance now. But still, he's on the take.
Continue.
Those fucking New Japan payments went down. Batman 65.
I feel like we just read Batman, but I forget that was the Flash book.
Yeah, and this is the sequel to that. We're going to try this high level number one.
I hope this is good. What is this?
Well, it's not a superhero book.
Is it a DC book?
It's a DC book, but it doesn't take place in the DC universe.
Let me look at this.
And it's not a Vertigo book.
Let me look at the cover. Give me a second. This looks like an Image series.
Oh, it is a Vertigo book. It sounds like an Image series, too. But, you know, I'll try new shit.
Okay, and Bendis isn't attached to it, so it might be good.
It's got a concept.
All right, let's keep going.
I'm not reading Naomi number two. Number one bored me to tears.
All right, since you've delegated yourself to reading books that aren't going to be on the show, I will delegate myself to reading East to West 45 off the show.
Even though Thank you for not making me read issue 45.
Well, you read the last issue.
Did I?
Yeah.
Did I understand it?
No. I explained everything to you and you still didn't understand. And I even thought to myself reading it, I'm like, oh, great, this is a perfect issue for Alex to start reading it, because it kind of feels like they're introducing a lot of things. But
I'll read it when it's done. Judge Dredd Toxic, number 4, the end of the story. They're going to fight a giant man. That was a weird ending to the last story. There's not a lot of comics, so I'm... Middle West, number 4.
Yeah, I caught that. There's
wow, 7 to Eternity is still coming out. I gotta get caught up on that.
I don't miss that book at all.
I liked it. I thought it had great art.
Well, of course it has great art, but that's the only thing the book has going for it.
No, I thought it had an interesting premise.
Yeah, you and Dave like that book, but Dave's not on the show anymore, so I don't have to read it.
Avengers No Road Home, number 2.
It's gonna come
on
a weekly
bad. The only reason you think it's bad is because you didn't like the last one. You've convinced yourself it's bad. You're not giving it a chance.
And you were trying to convince me, oh, it's not really attached. And sure enough, the first line of the solicitation mentioned, oh, from the team that brought you Avengers No Surrender.
But if you read the story, the only way it's attached is by the inclusion of Voyager.
Except there's
Guardians of the Galaxy, number 2. By the way, I'm punishing you for being a dick in a minute here.
In what way?
Love Romances, number 1.
How's that punishing me?
It's called Love Romances. Okay, I'm going to make you read a fucking woman's book.
I don't care.
Because you're a woman.
If anything, I'm more offended you making me read that second Guardians of the Galaxy book, considering I didn't like the first issue.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, well.
See, I'm being way too positive. I think my standards have dropped. Uncanny X-Men, number 12.
Ooh.
That's it. That's all the comics.
Okay, so that's probably reading over this 8 books. That's the standard.
And that's me picking, like, shit that we haven't read, so.
You mean to tell me you don't want to read Wolverine Infinity Watch number 1?
No, because I didn't read any of the other Wolverine.
Yeah, I know. I'm just ripping on you.
Oh, I think I found that thing. I'm going to send it to you.
Did you get that thing I sent you?
I never watched that.
Oh, you're kidding. show was great.
There's a picture. There's a picture of Castro, and it says, "Don't embargo my love." You're the Kim Jong illest.
That's funny. All right, that's going to do it for this week's show. So from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show, and as always, catch you guys next week. Adios.